Patrick, in the 90s, I guess you probably would remember that the NSA did hold the annual Singapore International Open with a court inside Bishan Junction 8. This was, I think, after 1997 to the year 2000 somewhere. So in Junction 8, you know, there was a court right smack in the middle, and all four walls, like I said, made of glass. At least 600 to 800 spectators could stand and watch from level 1 to 4. Personally, I think it was a brilliant marketing move by SSRA. And I think you mentioned just now, even in the US recently, there was a glass court at New York Central, the Grand Central, the railway station. They've done it at the pyramids. So would a similar setup in Singapore help boost the popularity of the sport, especially to the current generation, while in this period of transition? I mean,
I am very sure of that. That's why all the other countries are doing it. They are using this to attract their own players from their own countries. Look at the US, a non-playing nation not long ago, and now it is one of the most popular sports. Because of these high-profile games, you have the sponsors supporting them, the JP Morgan at the Grand Central Station, and in Chicago, the Windy City, the Walter family, they put in money, also in one of their train stations. The traffic during the peak hours, my goodness, is swarming with people. And they are all asking what is going on there. It attracts these players, and it also attracts sponsors. So the universities have picked on, and they find it is a good way to have a career in squash. You know, when you have one of these good stars, a local star, it attracts the people. The nation is revved up to support their own local. So I think these are all important things. It's just like you have a Tiger Woods, you have a iconic person playing, it will attract the players. So that is where I think it has benefited. So we are looking at investing in a court, in a four glass court. We are actually meeting the Singapore Tourist Board tomorrow to work with them. Where would you like us to feature this court? Give us a venue, suggest, we will work with the sponsors. That if I put it in an iconic place, for example, at Jewel, or at the top of MBS, or at the, you tell me, Gardens by the Bay, you know, so where we will work with them, find a venue and use it to showcase Singapore. It brings in the economic value. People will fly in to watch these tournaments, and while they are here with their families, they can go to the tourist attractions. So I think it is a partnership that we want to have with Singapore Tourist Board.
Yeah, and I think Joanna, you, I think you know where it's, they've done these sort of setups in Singapore. I mean, besides Junction 8,
we had VivoCity,
Velocity,
Leisure Park,
Kallang Leisure Park.
That's right.
Like you said, maybe at the Jewel.
So sometimes it's bringing squash to the people. Just bringing right to them, and you know, get them know what squash is all about.
Okay, Patrick, if the argument is that squash has done well in the recent past with gold medals at the SEA Games, whereas the other racket disciplines have underperformed, but if the number of people playing the game today is low, then financial-wise, wouldn't a more popular sport justify more resources being allocated to it?
I disagree. As I mentioned, the court booking hours have gone up from 10,000 to 30,000 to 50,000. So there is interest in the game. And members of the public are all interested in the game. But there is a limit to how many 24 courts can allow people to play.
Okay.
And without more courts, you do not have the grassroots. You do not have, you cannot reach out to the base. We want to reach out to the youth. We have an underprivileged program also. 69 children, we're targeting 100. We want to expose them because we feel that with squash, it builds character. The fitness is there. The determination to win is there. So we want to develop all these areas. If, for example, we have a bigger base, wouldn't you think that with more players, we are able to pick up better players that we can bring into the national team and groom them to play at elite level? So it funnels the broader base to this elite level, and we then continue medaling. As you said, we have done well in our medals, but if you do not have this base, you can't just depend on just these few people alone.
Yep.
You know, there's no grassroots to build on.
So touching on your point of the base, is the SSRA planning to use 2020 as the start of the new decade and go all out to build a much bigger base of fans and players, especially with more events?
Of course. We already planned 20 events from previous year of 15 events.
Okay.
We are looking at the novices. Okay. Let the young ones get involved. The come into the national team, you are a bit older, maybe 12 years old.
Mm.
But how about the younger ones, the 7, 8, 9, 10 year olds? We want them as well.
Mm.
So that is one. As Joe mentioned earlier, we have a very vibrant master's program. You know, they are, well, we have grown up from the 80s and 90s and we are still playing.
Mm.
This is part of the government's active alive aging, that we want to age healthily and squash, needing only a short time of half an hour.
Yeah.
As mentioned by Forbes, they said that for a half hour workout, you get more workout than maybe squash, running, swimming, in that short period.
Yeah.
And you don't need a lot of facility. A squash court, you can play on your own.
Yeah.
You can get a good workout on your own. So given the environment, it's air conditioned, some people like that. You know, you don't sweat too much and you have the luxury of having aircon.
Mm.
So that is able to attract these youth.
Mm.
But you need to give them a more attractive facility. You don't want a youth to hold an old Apple iPhone Model 3.
Mm.
He would want the latest.
Mm.
And that will attract him. So we have seen all these events in iconic places, in Egypt, in US. Now they come back to Kallang and say, oh, what have you got available for me?
Mm.
And they look at this 40-year-old relic.
Mm.
But it's the best that we have.
Mm.
And we make do with it.
Mm.
We try to have as much activities there. And we invite teams from all over the world. For example, the Singapore Junior Open we had recently in November. We are now at the gold level.
Mm.
Previous years, we had 284 participants. Last year, we had 344 participants qualifying for gold status from 18 countries coming to Singapore with their parents, with their friends, uncles. It's a big group of people that we attract to Singapore. After that, they go to the zoo, they go for the Universal Studios. So that is something that we want to build on. Also, I want to attract the Masters tournament here.
Mm.
We are looking into this area now because we have veterans that medal.
Mm.
Peter Hill, Zainal, they are all still medaling in tournaments, but they travel overseas for these tournaments. You know, we have Victor Koh, we have Sean C, Chris Pong. All these are names that have achieved status overseas. And now I want to bring it home. I want to attract these players to play in my local tournaments as well as foreign teams to come over and see what we can offer. So that is how I want to extend the reach of squash. We have the Jumbo Doubles. Of course, there are only two clubs in Singapore that offer this. The Tanglin Club, two courts there.
Yep.
Singapore Island Country Club, one court there. But they are willing to work with the association and members of the public. They welcome teams to come overseas, and we have a quadrangular that we move around the region in Malaysia, in Thailand, Singapore, and now the Philippines are building the courts also. So this adds to the vibrancy, and doubles jumbo is a more forgiving sport. Older players are able to manage at this level, at a high level. Whereas in singles, maybe your body may be weaker, but at least we active age at 60, at 65, you are still playing at the top level.
Mm.
So I think that is how we want to extend the reach of the game.
Okay. Very, I mean, brilliantly put. Josephine, I think Patrick touched on this as to how much are the current squash courts in Singapore being utilized by the public and community. I think he already gave the numbers.
Right.
But I understand SSRA is doing a fundraising event in March, and for every dollar that you raise, the government will match dollar for dollar, I believe up to the amount of $800,000?
Right, okay. We have, because of the current virus situation, we have actually tentatively postponed our event to the 15th of November.
Mm-hmm. What is the event?
It's actually, we call it the squash ball.
The squash ball.
Squash ball, yeah.
Okay.
So, Okay, what happens is that the government has two funds right now that we can tap on, and that's the One Team Singapore Fund, OTSF, and up to, well, it's actually set aside for high performance sports. So they have, the government has actually pledged like 50 million for 5 years, and we can actually tap up to 400,000 of that. And they will match dollar for dollar. So out of the 800,000 you mentioned, 400 comes from this One Team Singapore Fund. And then because last year was our bicentennial year, the government actually came up with 200 million of fund for, this is more for a community. So it's called the BCF, which is a Bicentennial Community Fund. And again, the limit is 400,000 dollar for dollar matching. So we have actually applied for these two funds. And well, donations are actually, they can actually get a tax rebate up to about 250%, right, of this, their donations. So we've actually applied for these two funds. And well, the BCF, the deadline actually for all donations is up to the 31st of March. That's why we were having our squash ball in March.
Right.
And now with this, we have to postpone. So we're actually appealing for donations to still come in and try to help us meet this deadline of 31st of March.
Yeah. So you're appealing for...
For donations.
So you're not appealing for the deadline to be extended?
Oh, we separately, we've also spoken and written in. Yeah. Because in view of the situation, I think there are, you know, there are a lot of events that have been planned.
Canceled,
not just ourselves, but other, you know, charitable organizations probably have to postpone. Yeah.
And many people and partners are probably, I mean, their focus is on the health situation.
That's right.
Okay. So Patrick, if you happen to raise $2 million, for example, would that be enough to build a decent venue with ample courts and seating places in a more convenient location? I mean, or could the venue be another public-private partnership, just like how the Sports Hub is modeled after? PPP.
I think I would like to hopefully raise up to $2 million. As Josephine mentioned, 800,000 is what our target is, because the government will give a matching fund.
Yep.
So that if we achieve to raise 800,000, we'll get 1.6 million. So would this be able to build a center? That would require land costs, building costs, and then the courts. So it will be expensive. It will not be enough.
Okay.
What we mentioned, the iconic, you know, that maybe can only cover the courts, but not the land and the building, which is the main bulk of the cost.
Okay.
But what we have to do is make every effort to raise the money. So I've expressed to the community that one of the reasons why I'm raising this fund so urgently is to see whether I can build my own interim center. We are now looking for options available. This afternoon, I'm going to see some options. I will rent it. I will have to consider putting up courts. I want to consider that these courts can be recycled when the new center is ready. So I reduce wastage. But of course, it would be quite expensive to do it. And that's why I'm appealing to members of the community to support us. I think that's as far as we can. So I hope that the community can support us. The ball has been postponed. The deadline has not been changed at the moment. So we try to bear with it. And to the best of our ability, my team and I will reach out to as many people, to sponsors, to help us.
The private clubs in Singapore, Tanglin and SICC, these are the two which have squash courts. Do you roughly know how many members play squash?
Actually, there are more than, it's not just Tanglin and SICC which have squash courts. You have Singapore Swimming Club, Chinese Swimming Club. So there are about 18 registered squash clubs. So they actually play in the NSL. And then we have 10 interest groups. So they actually don't formally belong to a club like Angry Birds, but they use Kallang as their courts to train. So
if the idea is to have a interim venue for our elite athletes, so then where do the community go?
You have to be a member in the club to play squash there. I mean, they will not, we can actually ask the club to help us to organize, but we can't do it all the time because they have to serve the members. They are paying members. So if you are an interest group like maybe say Angry Bird, you literally has no place to go. You only go to a public court. Mm. So they probably have to look at other public courts like Yio Chu Kang, Berkeley, and Evans Road public court is only available after 6 o'clock. And it's also fully booked. It's the home of New Pioneers. New Pioneers Club. It's another club. Mm. So basically, at this point, unless you are rich enough to join as a member of a club, I really don't know these interest groups. Even meetup groups. Have you heard of meetup groups? Meetup groups are...
It's called meetup.com,
Meetup.com. So for
people just get together.
For squash, they use Kalang as their base as well. Yeah. Kalang and Yio Chu Kang. Mm. So I think they play 3 times a week, 2 hours. You pay $5, you come, you join in. You just play with people. You mingle, you interact, and that's where. So I really don't know where these people are going to go right now.
Okay. This meetup group, there are more than 1,100 members.
Hopefully they're meeting up to play squash.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, whatever the reason they are playing squash, so it's okay.
Yeah, they meet up for squash, they meet up for drinks, like rest of whiskey. Depends on the interest. Yeah. So this meetup group, they have their base in Kalang.
Okay.
Yeah.
For the community and the public, what does the NSA do to promote it, to promote the sport?
So we have a calendar events throughout the year. So we cater for the juniors, we cater for the seniors, the masters, the novices, corporate games, we have Pastor Sukan. So we have a lot of events, like what Patrick said, maybe we have 15 events last year, this year we're going to have 20. Mm. And then we do the outreach programs, like the mini squash underprivileged kids. Because we work with two organizations, and then we get the kids involved to learn to play squash.
Okay.
So so these are the things, and then we engage with the private academies in Singapore. They are the ones actually doing a lot of grassroots kind of coaching. So we are very involved with them, and they actually work hand in hand with us to sign up their kids to play in our tournaments. And, so even schools,
Okay. Yeah. Josephine, we used to be a powerhouse in squash, especially in the 1980s and 90s with the likes of Zainal Abidin, Peter Hill, Ma Li Lian, Della Lee, some of the names that Patrick also mentioned earlier. You yourself were also part of that period in the 90s when you won silver and gold medals across a few SEA Games campaigns. The resources available back then and now must have seen several changes. Having said that, can our athletes perhaps go professional full-time one day and compete on the world circuit?
Okay, I would say that, the resources are so much better nowadays. I mean, with the support by SSI, you get your sports medicine, your sports science, even the social media is a form of support. Mm. You know, there's a lot more publicity for the sport, publicity for the players. And even regionally, I think the other countries have enjoyed that support. I mean, that sort of increase in resources. And other countries, like I can name Hong Kong, Malaysia, they have actually put many players on the professional circuit, and that's how they've produced very good world-class players. I think for us, the challenge has been that maybe for Singapore, two things: academic commitment. That's like every parent want their child to go through proper the academic process, and also for the boys, the national service. So it's actually getting them to for kids, whether for national service, whether they can still continue to be interested in the sport, continue to play while they are in national service, so that they can easily come back to play after national service. Mm. And for everyone else is whether are you willing to set aside your academic commitments to further your to further the sport and to turn pro. So we at the association are actually very prepared to give that support. If anyone comes to us and say, okay, I want to turn pro, you're of a certain level, we would help you.
Okay.
So the resources are there, but it's whether that mindset,
Okay. Now, as we wind up this discussion regarding squash, Joanna, what other support would you hope or prefer to see from the private sectors or even from the public?
I think so far from the public, based on the Kalang's Safe Kalang petition, we had 18,000 people who signed on it. We could say that the community is actually very supportive of squash. And SSRA, it is our goal to actually push hard for our replacement center to get back a home for us. And then that is when we, because we push for it, we are actually serving the community. The community, the public will continue to support us. Because if we don't push for this, how can we expect them to continue to support us? Mm. So that's one for the public and the community. Mm. That we have to do something as well, and then we would like them to keep helping us by playing squash. And that's how it works. You know, utilization, the courts and everything. Mm. So for the private sector, I really hope that you know, they will continue to be really involved. In terms of donating, in terms of helping us with their expertise or their skill sets to contribute to squash, if possible. And in turn, we also must make it worth their while, worth their value, that they will continue to help us, so that there will be this sustained kind of, you know, helping each other, whether public, private, and us and them. So I think that is the way to go, because we can't just be asking what people can do for us, but what can we do for them so that the relationship can be ongoing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Patrick, as the SSRA president, will let you have the final word. What is your hope and vision for squash for the next few years?
I think it's following on what Joanna has just mentioned and your question earlier, it's to look for this partnership, the private sector, the government, as well as members of the public. We want to book it as a tripartite. You asked, would there be a possibility that we can work with corporate sponsors, for example? Yes, I think we have already actually engaged with Sports SG on this. It's not new. OCBC Aquatic Centre is one of them. They have put in rights for the branding. It's a price that they pay to the Singapore, and they have these naming rights. I think that's where we can explore, but you need to give me a world-class standard. You can't, based on Kallang or Yio Chu Kang, and approach these people. It's not interesting to them. So if you give me a showcase venue, I will attract these people. I'm sure of it, because it is worth investing in. The utilization of Kallang is very high. As they mentioned, it is almost 100% at peak hours. If you compare to Berkeley and Yio Chu Kang, you can see straight away there is a difference in quality already. First in location as well as facility. So if you have the facility, world-class facility, you will attract not only the sponsors, but the players and the members of the public. And it goes round. The sponsors will look at it, oh, there is so much activity going on. Okay, I support it. And it goes round from there. And it elevates the game of squash. And that is one of my vision. So I will try to bring in high-profile events like the exhibition. Top Egyptian players, the world's best, are coming. Men, women, against my Asians, the Hong Kong, the Malaysia, India. So we'll have a playoff.
This is for the Singapore Open?
No.
No.
This will be the exhibition match that I'm planning end of June.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
In this four glass court that I'm working with STB, later I'll meet them and see whether we can boost the morale of the game and the squash community. I want to emphasize that squash has had a very good run for those years, but there was a dip. No denying that, but there is now a resurgence from those numbers that I mentioned. And I want to keep this momentum going. If we do not keep this momentum, if there's a break of 4 years, we will be in trouble.
Okay. What is your message to the sport and to the sports and squash community in Singapore in line with your vision for the near future?
I think to realize my vision, I need an interim center. If I do not want this break and curtailment of all my activities, I need this interim center. So I need to appeal to the squash community or the community at large. Help us, support us in our fundraising. All this will go into this interim center to prevent our 3 to 4 year lapse, and that would be detrimental to squash. So I hope to have the support of the community and sponsors as well.
I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will. Patrick Theo, Josephine Chu, Joanna Yu, thank you very much for coming on board SG Sports Uncut and talking about the sport of squash. And time will tell where we go from here, and let's hope for the best for the sport of squash, for the athletes, as well as the public and the community at large. So thank you very much, and all the best.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Thank you.
And we hope that you enjoyed that passionate and heartfelt discussion with our friends from the Singapore Squash Rackets Association. And let's hope for the best for the future of squash in Singapore. Well, if you have any feedback or comments about the show, feel free to drop us an email at sgsportsuncut@gmail.com. Till the next time, I'm Rajkumar. Bye for now.